evening, councillors. Good evening, staff, and good evening to our audience. I'd like to declare open meeting number 11 of the King Borough Council for 2016, held on today, Tuesday the 14th of June, the time being 5:30. I'd like to remind all those in attendance that it is the audio recording of this meeting will be made available to all persons in attendance are advised it is council policy to record council meetings. The audio recording of this meeting will be made available to the public on council's website for a period of 12 months. In accordance with council policy, I would ask the general manager to confirm that the audio recording has commenced. Thank you. I'd like also to acknowledge the traditional custodians of this land and pay respect to them and their customs and to their elders past, present and future. Tonight in attendance we have myself, Councillor Voss, Councillor Bastone, Councillor Berry, Councillor Chatterton, Councillor Fox, Councillor Grace, Councillor Percy and Councillor Winter. Staff in attendance are our General Manager, Mr Arnold, our Deputy General Manager, Mr Ferrier, our Manager Finance, Mr Jones, our Executive Manager Engineering Services, Mr Reeve, our Manager Community and Recreational Services, Mr Smee, our Manager Development Services, Mrs Loxley, our Executive Officer, Mr Holloway, our Manager Environmental Services, Mr Dool, and our Executive Assistant, Mrs Morton. Apologies. We have an apology from Deputy Mayor Councillor Reed, leave of absence. We also have an apology tonight from Councillor Atkinson. At this point in time, councillors, I would like to, for the minute, to acknowledge the passing of several people. The first one, of course, being Mayor Cor Dykstra from our sister city, Grootegast, who passed away last week. Those that have been on council for some time and some of the staff may have met him on one or two of his trips, and I think Councillor Berry has probably attended and met him in the Netherlands, and of course we did send a contingent of councillors over there, namely the Mayor, Councillor Hazel, Councillor Buchan and the then General Manager, Mr Rick McLean. I'd also like to advise you that as at this morning, former councillor and mayor Mr Don Hazel passed away. I'd also like to advise you that his wife Gwen passed away last Friday. Councillors, the next item on
Don, that then my can I also mention that my brother-in-law passed away?
You have done, and thank you, Mr
Kevin Ayres.
Yes, thank you. Page 2, councillors, confirmation of minutes. Council meeting number 9 held on Monday the 23rd of May 2016. Have a mover and seconded that the minutes of council meeting 9 held on the 23rd of 2016 be confirmed. Move Councillor Fox and seconded, I think it was Councillor Berry. I'll put that to the vote. Councillors in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Those against? That is carried unanimously. Special Council meeting number 10 held on Monday the 6th of June. Thank you Councillor Chatterton and thank you Councillor Winter that the minutes of Council meeting 10 held on the 6th of June 2016 be confirmed. Councillors in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Those against? That is carried unanimously. Also on page 2 is the workshops held since Council meeting on the 23rd of May. On the 19th of May was the budget communication and fees and charges, and on the 30th of May the STCA regarding waste, yes that'll do. Page 3, declarations of interest. Ask councillors if there's any declarations of interest to be declared. Councillor Fox. Are you staying in a meeting?
I am.
Then yes, you need provide the reason, please.
My family are on the executive of the Howden Progress Association, which has supported the community in their attempts to get the NBN to the Howden Tinderbox area. However, the tower is but one method of getting that service to the wider community, and I personally don't have any financial or pecuniary interest.
Thank you, Councillor.
Thank you.
Councillor Winder.
Yes, I have a, would like to declare an interest, but I'll stay in the room in the same item. At the last council election campaign, I distributed some campaign material about NBN in Howden. Whilst I campaigned for NBN in Howden, I wasn't specific about the technology that would be used, and I'll be assessing tonight's application based on its merits against the planning scheme, so I intend to stay in the room.
Thank you, Councillor Winter. Councillor Bastain.
I declare a declaration of interest in the same item. The property is owned by a good friend of mine, but I have no financial interest in it, and I'll be staying in the room.
Thank you, Councillor Bastain. We'll move on to page 4, questions on notice from the public. At the time the agenda was compiled, there were no questions on notice from the public. Questions time without notice from the public. Are there any questions from the public? There are none. Questions on notice from councillors. There's a question on notice regarding the annual percentage rate rise since 2006-07 from Councillor Winter, and a response from Mr Breen. Questions without notice from councillors. Councillor Berry.
Yes, thank you, Mayor. I have a question to do with planning fees. There are three or four questions. The questions concern item 27 of the planning fees. I have these written down, so which details the penalty, which is double the normal applicable planning fee for building works done in excess of $5,000 without approval. The questions are as follows. One, does the penalty also apply to shipping containers for which approval is necessary and has not been obtained? Second question, does the penalty also apply to Airbnb applications for which approval is necessary and has not been obtained? Third question, is the penalty, if applied, discretionary? That is, do staff have the authority to amend or deem the penalty unnecessary? And the fourth and last question is, how often in the past 12 months has the penalty been applied?
I'll just ask Mrs. Loxley whether she wishes to answer any of those questions, or we take them all on notice.
I'll take them on notice, thank you.
Thank you. Councillor Bastow.
I have a question regarding the heavy rain that we've had in the previous week. Has anyone actually gone out and looked at the trails that we maintain? For instance, the trail down to Snug Falls, which when I walked it yesterday was in a fairly bad way. And I imagine a lot of the other trails are in similar situations.
Thank you, Councillor Bastow. I'll ask Mr. Reeve if he can provide any information on that. Mr. Reeve.
Through you, Mayor. Yeah, look, at this stage there, most of the rainfall obviously hit some of the areas with the hills up in Longley and so forth around there, which were the worst hit ones there. So a number of roads and a number of trails were cut up fairly badly in terms of the rain there. We are gradually working our way through those areas there at the moment there. So some of the trails have been looked at there. Not all of them at this stage there, but we will be getting around to actually checking out all the various trails there and making the necessary repairs that are required.
Thank you, Mr. Reeve. Councillor Gross.
Yeah, I've received quite a few phone calls, Mayor, regarding roads throughout Snug Tears, other areas, I just can't recall them at the moment, but there's quite a few. Could we ask Mr. Reeve if we could get an update on how many roads have been significantly damaged through the last heavy rains, and what sort of time frame would it take to sort of get these roads back up to some sort of standard, because I believe some roads are in a fairly poor condition. Some have said they were in that condition prior to the rain, but I have no evidence of that, Mayor, but if we could just get some sort of an idea.
Thank you, Councillor Grace.
And where the graders are working, so we got people ring, then we can tell them what's happening.
I'll ask Mr Reeve if he wants to give us a brief update at this stage, if he's able to. Mr Reeve.
Through you, Mayor. Probably the easiest thing is for me to actually provide councillors with just a written update there, so I can actually answer all your questions there and provide a bit more of a comprehensive answer.
Thank you, Mr Reeve. Motions on which notice has been given. At the time the agenda was compiled, there were no notices of a motion given. Page 5, petition still being actioned. A report on the petition submitted to Council on the 9th of May 2016, headed Loxley's Road and Groombridge's Road, Kettering, can be found on page 58 of this agenda. Petitions received in the last period. On the day of compiling the agenda, no petitions had been received. Councillors will move to page 6, planning authority in session, so I'll remind councillors now that we are acting as a planning authority, so we'll move into a planning authority at 5:42. And the first report of officers is on page 6 with a recommendation on page 8, moved by Councillor Grace and seconded by Councillor Chatterton. Are there any questions, comments in relation to the report on delegated authority? There being none, I'll put the recommendation, moved by Councillor Grace, seconded by Councillor Chatterton, the report be noted. Councillors in favour, please say aye. Those against? That is carried unanimously. The next item is page 9, development application for telecommunications tower at 441 Tinderbox Road, Tinderbox, for Vision Stream Proprietor Limited, and a recommendation on page 19. Thank you, Councillor Grace. Do I have a seconder? Councillor Chatterton. Councillor Grace.
This is something that's needed, I believe. Mayor, we've had some workshops from various people wanting to put towers, and I see there's not, if any, complaints regarding this tower. There's one. So we all sing out when we can't get our phone service, so... as I said before, when something came to the table like this, we got probably 150 complaints, but this time there's only one. I have no problem with it, Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Grace. Councillor Percy.
Thank you. This is more to do with the conditions we place on some of these development applications. I noticed that they've got to pay into a fund for trees, Council's Tree Preservation Fund. I'm just wondering, what would be the balance of this fund at the moment, and what do we actually do with this fund? Can somebody... I'm just trying to get some relevance, just so I know
the type of projects we're going to do. Thank you, Councillor Percy. I'll ask Mrs Loxley, she can put some light on it for you. Mrs Loxley.
Thank you. Through you, Mayor. I'm afraid I don't know off the top of my head what the balance of the fund is, but I'm certainly happy to find that out. When we take an offset, we take the money and we put it in a fund, and then we spend it in an appropriate way to mitigate for the loss of those trees. So it's making sure we either plant or purchase a similar type of community than that's been removed. So I can certainly find out the balance of it, and it's part of our tree planting and acquisition program, how we spend that money.
Yeah, I think last time I looked at it, it was increasing quite considerably. I'm just wondering at what stage do we start using it. The other one I have here is if construction takes place between early July and late January, transport of materials to construction of the tower must be undertaken after dusk and prior to 9 p.m. to minimise visual disturbance to the wedge-tail eagle nests located in the vicinity. Is this based on some sort of scientific advice, or I'm just wondering some of these conditions we're putting on there, how we arrive at them, that's all.
In a nutshell, yes, but I'll ask Mrs. Loxley to expand. Mrs. Loxley.
Through you again. Just because of the location of the tower and the known habitat for the wedge-tailed eagle, the application has to be accompanied by a flora and fauna assessment report, and there's a number of recommendations in that report and they get reflected in those conditions. So it's certainly a standard condition in that respect, and it comes out of the flora and fauna report that was submitted with the application.
Councillor Chadley.
I just got a question through you, Mayor, to Ms. Loxley. I note that the one objection came in out of time, therefore at time there was no objection to this, and I just wondered why this report actually has to come to council. I thought it was one of those that technically there's no objection and wouldn't come to council. Could someone enlighten me, please?
Thank you. Mrs. Loxley.
Through you, Chair, again. The delegations are such, if any representation is received, not necessarily worded such as a representation received within the correct time frame, we are obliged to consider any representation received. If it's not made within the appropriate time frame when the application was advertised and somebody wants to, for instance, exercise that right of appeal, they need to go through a process and seek authorised agreement from the tribunal and from council to lodge that appeal, but we're still obliged to consider any representation received, even if it's outside that 2-week period.
Thank you, Mrs. Loxley. Further questions or comments? I'll ask Councillor Gross to close debate.
I think it's all explained. As it's stated in the report, that it doesn't meet one solution, but then it meets another, so therefore it's deemed to be approved. There's no real reasons why it can't be refused.
Thank you, Councillor Grace. Councillors, I'll put the recommendation, moved by Councillor Grace, seconded by Councillor Chadden, that in accordance with Council Policy 1.1, Delegated Authority Policy, the Planning Authority resolves that the report of the Manager Development Services be received, and that the development application for telecommunications tower of 441 Tinderbox Road, Tinderbox, for Vision Stream Proprietary Limited, be approved subject to the following conditions. There are 7 conditions, and I'll put the recommendation to councillors. Those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Those to the contrary? Motion is carried unanimously. The next item is on page 31, DA, regarding the development application for a change of use, Carriage 1 Bookshop to Cellar Door Facility at Margate Train, 1567 Channel Highway, Margate, for Mr. DA Tottle. A recommendation on this item is on page 36. Thank you, Councillor Grace, and thank you, Councillor Bastone. Councillor Grace.
Look, I don't see a major problem with this, being the train's a tourist venture. People call into train, they don't call into Brookfield, they don't call into Margate Tavern, they don't go here. So I don't really see a major problem with it. The only thing I sort of questioned was the fact on the report, or in the report, about the site waste management down there. The system has currently been upgraded, I realise that, and then it says a drainage design plan, preferable drawn up to scale, prepared by a suitable qualified person that shows the location and all that stuff. Now, if it's already been upgraded in the recent time, in the last 12 months, why are we asking them to put a plan in? Surely our plumbing department would have all the records sitting in their office here, because they're the ones that have to go out there and pass it. And again, it goes on to say, In on page 37, Councillor, number 2 and number 3, the developer must obtain Councillor special plumbing for an upgrade. But if it's already existing and it's already operating, why are those conditions in there, Mayor?
Thank you, Councillor Grace. Mrs. Loxley, are you able to enlighten councillors, please?
If you just bear with me, I'm looking at it myself, because I agree there is a discrepancy between the report and the conditions. The report certainly says that the upgrade is considered adequate to manage any additional wastewater. If that's the case, then the conditions can stay because the conditions would already be satisfied. So if there's no need to do any further works, then we can certainly sign off those conditions. So I would certainly prefer they stay for the for the time being till I can discuss with the environmental health officer, and if the wastewater is acceptable, then I can certainly sign off those conditions.
Thank you, Mrs. Loxley, and thank you, Councillor Grace, for bringing that to our attention. You're finished? You got further to say?
I'm just looking at, is it going to incur unnecessary cost to the developer when it's already been done? That's all I'm concerned about, Mayor. Why, you know, our plumbing department, our health department have signed it off. Well, I think they should be, if they're happy with that, they should be deleted from the conditions.
Well, as Mrs. Loxley said, she'd like to check that first before it is deleted, and if that's the case, there will be no follow through on that because, like you said, superfluous.
Thank you. I didn't quite hear Mrs. Loxley.
Further discussions, Councillor Chatterton.
Yeah, look, I was just going to comment on the representation, and I know by reading the report that there is a house in very close proximity to this, but look, if it's just to call in and taste a few beers and go on, I don't see any problem with it at all. However, if there were going to be events there, I do have a concern, but I think that's covered pretty well by the operating hours, although it does go to 8 p.m. on a Friday night. But look, if it's just people calling in and having beer tastings and moving on, I have no problems. But if it was going to be music and things happening on a Friday night up to 8 p.m, I would have a problem. But it being only 50 metres away from the nearby house, we wouldn't allow that within a residential area. So I think we need to be careful. I know that, and it does cover it in the report, that it's not a residential area, although a house is a permitted use in the environmental living zone. So I think it's covered pretty well, but I note that that was the cause of the objection, and I think we've covered it off, and obviously if the applicant wished to extend those hours, they need to come back to us to seek further extension, and then we'd assess it again, as I understand it.
Thank you, Councillor Chad, and I'll ask Mrs. Loxley to clarify. Mrs. Loxley?
That's certainly the case. I think the representation has a number of concerns about the proposal, but that's not actually what's being applied for at the moment. We can only assess the application in front of us, and I think, as you said, the hours of operation, etc., limit the impact and actually what's going to, so does the area of the carriage and what actually can physically take place there. Any extension would need a fresh DA application that would need to come to us. Also, in reference to Councillor Grace's question, I've found the answer, so if I can just tell you that the whole system was upgraded, but it appears there are still some issues with the drainage beds, and they need to be upgraded, and so the conditions relate to the drainage beds. So whilst the wastewater generally has been upgraded at the train, there is some further work that needs to be done to the drainage beds and the capacity of those drainage beds, so that's why those conditions are there.
Thank you, Mrs. Loxley. Further discussion, councillors? If not, I'll ask Councillor Grace to close debate.
Just on that then, Mayor, I'll just ask that we note 3.1. This is the council's environmental health section, has considered the proposal on-site waste management arrangements and found it to be acceptable. That's in the report quite clearly. Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Grace. Councillors, I'll put the recommendation moved by Councillor Grace, seconded by Councillor Bastone, that in accordance with Council Policy 1.1 Delegated Authority Policy, the Planning Authority resolves that the report of the Manager Development Services be received, and that the development application for change of use -Carriage 1 Bookshop to Cellar Door Facility at Margate Train, 1567 Channel Highway, Margate, for Mr. D.A. Tottle be approved, subject to the following conditions, and there are four conditions. Councillors, I'll put that to the vote. Councillors in favour, please say aye. Those against? Recommendation is carried unanimously. We'll move on. The next item is page 40, development application for a dwelling at 19 Saddle Road, Kettering, for Henry Carr Design and Consulting. And there is a recommendation on page 49, and there has been an amended sheet showing the location of that property. Thank you, Councillor Grace. Thank you, Councillor Percy. Councillor Grace.
I just have no major. I'm just reading the conditions and etc. again with this vegetation and all that sort of stuff worries me a bit, because we sort of I don't know why we're making this a big issue in that particular place, because it's an open paddock up there, and I don't realise why. I can't come to term why we're putting so many silly, if I can use the word silly, to me. And I'm not discrediting staff, please, Mayor. Retract that. I don't want staff to think that I'm. But that's just the way I speak. But anyway, I, of course, is supporting the application, and if the applicant is not happy with those conditions, well, of course, he or she has the right to object to those still. So that's why I'm supporting it.
Thank you, Councillor Grace. Yes, those silly conditions are requirements that we must look into, so we will continue to look at them. No further discussion, councillors. In that case, I will put the recommendation moved by Councillor Gray, seconded by Councillor Percy, that in accordance with Council Policy 1.1, Delegated Authority Policy, the Planning Authority resolves that the report of the Manager Development Services be received, and that the development application for dwelling at 19 Saddle Road, Kettering, for Henry Carr Design and Consulting, be approved subject to the following conditions. There are six conditions. As printed, councillors in favour, please say aye. Those opposed? That is carried unanimously. We'll move on to the next item, and that's page 58. And the open session of council will resume at 5:57. The first report of officers is Climate Change Innovation Lab, and there is a recommendation on page 61. A mover in Councillor Chadden, and a seconder in Councillor Fox. Councillor Chadden.
Well, I suppose all I can say is I can see no problem with what, I mean, we've hammered climate change and in this council for many years, and as we quite rightly said, I think it was last council meeting, we're a leader perhaps in local government in climate change, and that's why we wanted to support the move of the state, of the government, bringing their climate change workforce to Kingborough, and this to me is another add to that again, and I can see no reason why we should not support. Look, there's a budgetary figure there of I think it was 22,000 mentioned on page 60. Towards that, we've approved the budget, therefore we've approved the money to go towards it. Therefore, in principle, we've approved it in the past. So now it's just, in my opinion, get on with it.
Thank you, Councillor Chadden. Councillor Percy.
Yeah, I certainly agree with Councillor Chadden that it was in the budget, and. And we must the only concern I have with this one, I suppose, is we've got very finite resources in this council, and I'm just concerned how much resources will be placed into this project. I know that we're going into partnership with other businesses if they turn up, but just I would like to know from Mr. Dool just what our role will be in this and what sort of resources we'll go into. I certainly compliment him on this initiative. It's a great one for Kingborough Council and Kingborough community. But I am concerned in you know, I've just come through budget sessions where everything's pretty tight. We're not going to be increasing our staff over the next, 10 years, I suppose. It wouldn't be 10 years, but that's what we put in the long-term financial plan. That we may, you know, we have quite a few projects that have come through that are going to require us to do things like the Kingston Beach Integrated Natural Hazard and Climate Change Project. I don't want things to be just put on the shelf and not implemented. I'm just concerned about the amount of resources that are going to go into something like this. However, I do compliment them on this innovation, but I would like to know that we're not going to commit ourselves to something that's going to take up a lot of our resources. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Percy. Mr. Dool, can you enlighten us, please?
Through you, Mayor, I think it's safe to say, councillors, that it will not only be cost neutral, we will actually come out significantly in front, not only financially, but also in terms of the calibre of expertise and the spin-offs that has for how we approach climate change adaptation in the future. As you can see from, I think it's 11 letters of support, there's some high calibre organisations in there, and I think whenever we will be likely to ask for them to contribute to this, that really won't be a problem. I anticipate that they will more than match anything we put in, and I really don't think it's going to be a huge financial impost to council in the future.
Thank you, Mr. Doyle. Councillor Winter.
Thanks, Matt. Concur with the previous two contributions that this is in the budget. Must admit, before I read the report, I'd missed this one from my analysis of the budget. And, you know, as Councillor Percy's talked about finite resources, this seems like, something that is not a huge cost, but it's yet another cost that we're asking ratepayers to put in. And we have obviously got a very highly skilled group of individuals both working within the council and consulting with the council in terms of climate change adaptation and mitigation. And while that's great, what concerns me about something like this is that Kingborough Council ratepayers and residents are going to be asked to financially sustain in the long term an organisation that is producing work that really should be done by a different level of government. And just because we've got, it appears to me anyway, a state government that isn't so interested in climate change, or a federal government that isn't so interested in climate change, that should then fall to local government, in this case Kingborough Council, to lead the way. And when I see lead the way, whilst that's admirable, I'm concerned about the financial impact. I may be paraphrasing Mr. Doyle, but I think he said we'll come out significantly better off financially, or worse to that effect. But I did notice in 5.3, in the future, as envisaged, the lab will seek funding from partnership arrangements. The last sentence says, all resources obtained by the lab will be invested back into the lab and not into the consolidated funds of council. So can I just get a clarification on, I may have misheard the response, but I just want to clarify that that we won't be bringing any surplus back into consolidated funds of council through this project.
Thank you, Councillor Winter. Mr. Doyle.
Through you, Mayor, I think what we're saying there is that we anticipate that this has the potential to actually make significant money for council in terms of training of other organisations, contributions. What we're saying is, in our opinion, that the money that it makes should be ploughed back into climate change adaptation rather than just disappearing into general revenue.
Okay. That clarifies it. Thank you. In the terms of the long term, obviously we've got, there's 22,000 listed for expenditure in 2016-17. Is that specifically for the business case, to put together the business case? Is that the main part of that funding?
Mr. Doyle?
I would anticipate that it would largely be for the business case, but some of the monies would be for the actual setting up of where we ultimately decide we might like to have the facility. There's a number of options we're considering for that at the moment. So in terms of the fit out of a place, it's a fairly modest amount of money, but the majority of it would probably be shoring up the business case and liaising with potential partners who have already, as I said, had given us letters of support.
Okay. As been said, it's in the budget, and the notice of motion is really preparing us, giving us which I appreciate, a summary of where we're at the moment, and I think prepares us to see a business case
that plots out what the ongoing operational costs would be to council, and that's what I'm really interested in. So I'll be supporting this tonight, but I just want to sort of flag that I'm not supportive of ratepayers and residents supporting this establishment in an ongoing way. I don't want to add additional cost to council's budget, which is already under significant pressure. And I said I don't want to be in a position where we're asking where we're essentially cost shifting what is a role, I think in this case, some of it at least, a role for state government, and bring it onto our ratepayers simply because another level of government isn't fulfilling its role. So I do think it's an exciting project. If it gets up, I really am looking forward to reading that report. And thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Weeder. Thank you for those answers, Mr. Dill. Councillor Berry.
Thank you, Mayor. Yes, listening carefully to what Councillor Winter had to say, I think as far as I can see, we are being asked to endorse the proposed establishment of a climate change innovation lab in Kingborough. It certainly is an innovative and sort of forward thinking idea, which I must congratulate staff who've been working on this and working on things like the Kingston Beach study and that down at Adventure Bay for the benefit of our residents. So there will be continued work done in that area. It seems to me that the recommendation provides the opportunity for us, when we have the next report, to look at the establishment, ongoing operational costs and governance and staffing arrangements. And there may well be the opportunities for revenue raising, which I think are real. So I thoroughly support the recommendation as it is printed, and I think it is a great opportunity for council. And well, you never know, council may not have to put its hand in its pocket. Wouldn't that be a great idea? So this all takes time. It has taken a long time, and I just want to congratulate staff for getting it to this stage. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Berry. Councillor Fox.
Thank you. I agree with Councillor Winter and others who, but this motion really is just looking at a business case, and then all the concerns I hope will be addressed that Councillor Winter may have. I just wanted to draw everyone's attention to this list of letters that we've just received, which are not in the agenda but have come after the agenda was printed. One letter from the Australian Coastal Councils Association, another of support, another from BMT. I'm not sure what that stands for, but they're obviously, well, maybe Mr. Dill can answer who they are. They're from Brisbane. The Antarctic Climate and Ecosystems Cooperative Research Centre has written a letter of support by their Chief Executive Officer, Professor Tony Werby. And there was another one, another two, in fact. The Australian Coastal Society Limited, Associate Professor Geoffrey Westcott, and also Kate McKenzie, the Manager, Investment and Governance of the Climate Institute. So when you read the calibre of those institutes, and if we don't get money of support, if they're writing letters of support, then I'd be most surprised. And I think this is an amazing venture, and I really hope that we can carry this off, because I think it would be a real feather in the cap of Kingborough. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Fox. I might invite our consultant, Mr. Donovan Burton, to respond to those questions you had and provide the details if Mr. Burton would like to come forward to a microphone.
Thank you. Through the chair, look, I think
the innovation lab will be a world's first. I certainly aren't aware of any examples of that, of an adaptation innovation lab being embedded within a municipality. I think in terms of cost neutral, I think that's easy. I think it will definitely, I feel very confident that it will generate some income for the adaptation actions that council will need to undertake. And as Mr. Dahl pointed out previously, I think the other exciting thing is that it will attract world-leading experts to come and help Kingborough Council address the issues. And I applaud Council for taking this action. Thank you.
The initials, Mr. Burton, that Councillor Fox raised, BMT?
The acronym doesn't stand for anything anymore. It's BMT, WBM. They're a coastal hazard consulting firm who just offered their support.
Thank you. Before I ask Councillor Chadden to close debate, I will add a few things that I think have been said around the room. I support the idea. I think it's a wonderful idea, and I congratulate Mr. Dahl and Mr. Burton and staff on this. I think there's a growing awareness within our community of climate change. I know there's a few sceptics still out there, but I believe in climate change. I think most of us in this room, possibly if not all of us, do the same. The weather patterns that we've been seeing of recent times, I think, cements that. It would be nice of other tiers of government to do things, but if we were to wait for other tiers of government, as they say, all hell may freeze over and we may be looking at a freeze. I think to gain access to real-world solutions for our facilities in Kingborough, to be able to test innovative and emerging responses, I think to gain access to world-leading climate change professionals and researchers, and to gain a more competitive access to both national and state and then to corporate and other fundings are opportunities that I think we can't afford to miss. I share the concerns of Councillor Winter. We certainly don't want it to be a white elephant. I don't believe it will be. I think it's innovative in the sense that someone needs to be the first. I think with climate change, there's a lot of doom and gloom being bandied around, and people don't want to talk climate change. I think we, in the last 2 or 3 years, talk the opposite. We want to be involved in climate change because I believe that there are potential opportunities, innovation in itself, to come up with new ideas. There must be, if mankind is to continue on planet E, there must be some opportunities whereby we can look and adapt and to mitigate some of the issues that face us. And I think if we can work together, there really is a revenue potential, and there's also a community benefit that I outlined before. I think there's a lot of local economic development that can come from this. If there are climate change professionals and researchers prepared to be involved, then I think it will flow on and it will be a win for all. Councillor Chadden, I'll ask you to close debate.
Yeah, look, I suppose one of the things that when you talk about climate change, and we go back some years, with more emphasis was on sea level rise and all those sorts of things. It was a hell of a emphasis on, you know, it's going to rise 2 feet in 3 years, and all, you know, there was scaremongering stuff. But this climate change way we're going about things now, and the way we're looking at things and investigating and being able to give maps and being able to give data out to those who may not believe climate change is there, I think it's bringing a lot more people on board. And I see this climate change adaptation program being able to educate a lot of people who may be sceptics, and also people who don't look at climate change, or really perhaps are only thinking about, oh well, the ice is melting, the water's rising, and that's about as far as they think. And I think this to have this in the municipality and have the skilled people there that will be able to perhaps go out and talk to groups in the municipality, talk to all sorts of people in the schools and all that, and explain really what is the nuts and bolts of climate change. And I think that's where the plus to us and the plus to the community will come as a result of this. And I just endorse the recommendation, Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Chadden. Councillors, I'll put the recommendation moved by Councillor Chadden, seconded by Councillor Fox. The Council notes the information in the report and endorses the proposed establishment of a climate change innovation lab in Kingborough, subject to further consideration of a business case that determines its establishment and ongoing operational costs, together with future governance and staffing arrangements, a risk assessment, and the real potential for revenue-raising opportunities. Councillors in favour, please say aye. Against? That motion is carried unanimously. The next item is on page 70, Oxley and Groombridge Road petition, and there is a recommendation on page 73. Councillor Berry. And Councillor Percy. Councillor Berry.
Thank you, Mayor. This is kind of democracy at work, that a group of like-minded ratepayers and individuals have got themselves organised. And reading through the report, it's obvious that the staff have, as they should have done, taken it seriously, have met with the residents. I think it's on two occasions. And we have a recommendation that I support. I would just like to ask Mr. Eve a couple of questions. In the background, 2.1.1, the petition reasons cited were to reduce the cost of council's unsealed road maintenance program. I wasn't sure what the answer to that was. Maybe it's in the report somewhere, but will it in fact do that? And 2.1.2, I think I saw somewhere that only one vehicle accident had been reported. Is that right?
I'll ask Mr. Reeve to respond to you.
Anyway, perhaps someone could clarify that.
I'll ask Mr. Reeve to respond to you, Councillor Reeve.
I support the recommendation, and it's great that it has worked out this way. Thank you.
Mr. Reeve.
Through you, Mayor. So the reasons that were put there were reasons obviously put by the residents there. So I guess that was their viewpoint in terms of what they believed. I guess in terms of actually reducing the cost of the unsealed road maintenance program, well, theoretically if you seal it, it probably would do, but in terms of the maintenance we're actually spending on at the moment there, it's not excessive in terms of what we're doing. That wouldn't be one of the major reasons for it. It'd be more to do with the configuration of the abutting properties there, and the fact that there has been some incidents with vehicles there. One of them may have been reported, but there's been anecdotal evidence that's been plenty of other ones there which haven't been reported along that road there. It was recognised that the section, particularly the steep section of Groombridge Road, was one that would be a candidate for a potential future reseal when we did the other section of Groombridge Road this financial year. And I guess the section that we did this financial year was driven by a commitment we made via a development contribution. So that's the reason why we did that original section there. Arguably, this steep section of Groombridge Road was probably of, you know, potentially of greater need. So that's the reason why we are supportive in terms of actually at least considering this in our 5-year plan.
Thank you, Mr. Reeve. Further questions, Councillor Berry? No? No further questions? Thank you. Councillor Bastone?
Can I just thank Mr. Reeve for taking this on board, because this is an area that I know very well, in fact, very close to my house. I noticed that we've got the traffic counter on the road now, which is terrific. Thank you. And something that's not written down on here, but the school bus now picks up on this road. So it actually swings in. The bus, the covered bus stop is there, and it's quite dangerous for the children because the cars, the parents park the cars very close there. So although it's not written on this, it's a, there is a safety issue as well.
Thank you, Councillor Bestone. Councillor Grace.
Thank you, ma'am. Yeah, well, Groombridge's Road, as the councillors here, most of my colleagues can remember the jumping up and down we had to do, but anyway, to get it upgraded. At that particular time, it was said by staff at the time that the road would be sealed in 3 years once they reconstructed it. Now, I noted in some of the report that the road would possibly have to be restructured again. Well, I understood, Mayor, when it was constructed to a stage where it needs very little work to bring it up to a standard to seal it. The road's been down now some time. The grade's very steep, and I will ask to be noted, Mayor, that I believe that from information I've obtained is the fire truck had trouble getting up there once it's corrugated. An ambulance, I believe, and several times it's had to, well, I don't know how many times, but it's had to turn around because it couldn't get up the hill and go right round the long way, Saddle Road, to be able to pick up a patient. So I'm pleased to see it at least happening. But I would ask another question, Mayor. Oxley's Road from Channel Highway to Groombridge's Road. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but I thought we had money in the budget last year to seal that section of road. That was a Capital Works program. And it never got done.
Okay, I'll just throw that to Mr. Reeve, if his recollection, please, Mr. Reeve.
Through you, Mayor. No, the bit that was actually in this year's was a section, another section of Groombridge Road, a little bit further up the road from where.
Sorry, that was the contribution from the developer.
Yep, that's
but
correct.
We, I think, if I can ask for it to be checked, Mayor, I'm pretty positive that we put money in a budget to seal Oxley's Road from Channel Highway to the intersection up to Groombridge's Road.
Thank you, Councillor Grace. Well, I'm sure Mr. Reeve will check that out. Thank you, Mr. Reeve. Councillor Chadden.
I remember many years ago, and I think Councillor Fox was with me, and you might have been with me as well, Mayor, when we went on a bus trip up through there, and the bus was driven by our late Mayor, and drove the Hazel Brothers bus down through there. It was before Councillor Grace was on council, and everybody was horrified about the bus having to travel down that steep section, which is what's section B, and it was a pretty rough, and that would be back probably 15 years ago. So, and the traffic was only limited in those days because the subdivision up the top had only recently gone in and the sealing had gone in on that stage. But so it is a road that's probably well and truly due to upgrade it in some respect.
I wasn't a part of that, but I was a party with Councillor Grace and I coming down Section B many years later, and we couldn't get down there too well. Further debate? No, I'll ask Councillor Berry to close debate. If there's anything you'd like to add, Councillor Berry?
Just very briefly, I mean, I think, as I said earlier, I think the process has been very good. I think the way the staff have handled the residents has been excellent, and the only thing in the paragraph just towards the end about road speeds, the only thing that can be absolutely guaranteed is that people will drive faster as soon as you seal the road. And so I do think some serious attention will need to be given to restricting speeds, particularly what Councillor Bestone told me about school buses, etc. People will drive faster once the road is sealed.
Thank you, Councillor Berry. Councillors, I'll put the recommendation moved by Councillor Berry and seconded by Councillor Percy that A, Oxley's Road from Channel Highway to Groombridge's Road be considered for sealing within the 5-year Capital Works Program. B, Groombridge's Road from the junction of Oxley's Road to approximately 590 metres be considered for sealing within the 5-year Capital Works Program. Councillors in favour, please say aye. Those against? That is carried unanimously. The next item is on page 80, that's 80, Regional Waste Group, and there is a recommendation on page 81. Thank you, Councillor Fox, and thank you, Councillor Grace. Councillor Fox, anything you'd like to add?
I think it's a logical conclusion to a long history, and the time has come where this is the right thing to do. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Fox. I will put the record... Sorry, Councillor Berry.
I just had a question. My understanding when this was being discussed a few years ago was that there were funds that can be distributed to council with the winding up of this authority. Is that correct? I'm sure it won't be millions, but I understand. And at the time, Hobart City Council was not a member, so...
Thank you, Councillor Berry. Yes, that was the case, but this financial year there was no call on the member councils of Swaza for a contribution, and those funds have slowly but surely been whittled away on projects, worthwhile projects, a lot of those being educational projects by both Glenorchy and Clarence City Councils. And the garage sale this year, we and the other councils in southern Tasmania, excluding Hobart City Council, our registration fees have been met by Swaza, so there will be no fee set upon council for the garage sale that's coming. I'll put the recommendation, moved by Councillor Fox, seconded by Councillor Grace, that council support the proposal to cease the operations of Southern Waste Strategy Authority on the 30th of June 2016 and replace that authority with a regional waste group under the auspices of Southern Tasmanian Councils Authority from the 1st of July 2016. Councillors in favour, please say aye. Councillors opposing? Motion is carried unanimously. We'll move on to page 85, Community Grants, 2016-17, round one. A recommendation on page 86. Councillor Percy is moving the motion.
No,
yes?
I've just got a declaration of interest. I didn't realise that Rotary Club of Kingston was a receiver of some of these funds. So,
and as that. A member of the Rotary Club, you'll leave the room?
Yeah.
Okay, thank you. So be it noted that Councillor Percy is leaving the room at 6:27.
I'm happy to move, Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Chatterton. Councillor Grace.
In doing so, the only thing that I have a question on, and things may have changed in the last year or so in the way this has been done, but in the past, I recall there used to be some councillors involved in discussion for staff to come up with these recommendations. But according to, obviously that doesn't happen anymore, but there's nothing here to say who's actually looked at this. There's a report from an officer, I accept that, and endorsed by the manager of that officer, I accept that. But there's nothing here to say who actually looked at the list and who discussed it and who's making the recommendation. I'm happy with it, but I just think it really, to me, should say that it's... Is there a committee of staff? If so, I would have liked to have seen that mentioned in the report.
Thank you, Councillor Chad. I'll ask Mr Smee to elaborate, please.
Through you, Mayor, there is indeed an internal committee of staff that does the assessments.
Thank you. Councillor Grace?
Yeah, I've got no problem. Councillor Chatham raised the point I've raised before at our other committee, Community Development Arts, on the same sort of thing, because it doesn't give as much of an opportunity, for argument's sake, if we didn't particularly for some reason like somebody obtaining grants when it's already approved basically, or they're already aware of it, but saying that, there wouldn't be many that we have probably would like further information on. I have no problem with that, but just a question, Mayor. Now I raised an issue I think before too about a project, and just use the Channel Folk Museum, for instance. They're building a shed, well, had this shed on mind, or some sort of a building to house old machinery, etc. Of course, council has donated or gave them a grant of $4,000 or $5,000 towards it. Well, since then, they're finding out the shed's probably going to cost them $30,000. I know these are only for five, but the question is, I thought if they felt that they could put another application in, for even if it was for another year, or is that not allowed under the present terms and references?
Thank you, Councillor Gross. I'll ask Mr. Smee to respond on eligibility. Mr. Smee.
Through you, Mr. Mayor. The project in question, off the top of my head, has already received funding for $4,800. Our policy states that any one project can only receive a maximum of $5,000. So, in essence, this is the same project that they're asking for additional funds for. And under our criteria, the maximum we could give would be an extra $200 that would take them up to the maximum allowable. Now, I understand that Ms. Alder Fox has had a discussion with members of the General Heritage Museum and conveyed that information to them.
Thank you, Mr. Smee. Councillor Berry?
Yes, I support this. I think it's a really good initiative for council. It's very much appreciated by the community groups. I just have one question, and I just seek a little bit of reassurance. The school one, Illawarra Primary School, it's kind of within our terms of reference to provide funds for schools, be this PNF, is it? I mean, I've got absolutely nothing. It's a fantastic school. I'd just like some reassurance that the terms of reference, I don't recall in the past that we have supported projects in schools. Maybe memory is not the best, but if Mr. Smee can reassure me about that, that would be good. Thanks.
Mr. Smee?
Yeah, through you, Mr. Mayor. We have indeed supported school projects in the past. Our policy doesn't exclude schools from applying or Parents and Friends Association. Our reason for recommending this particular project is it's not simply an in-school project. It has a number of community partners and will provide a significantly broader community benefit than just members of the school. And for that reason, we are recommending funding.
Thank you, Mr. Smee. Answer your question, Councillor Berry. Thank you. Councillor Bastone.
Through you, Mr. Mayor. Can I ask Mr. Smee whether, in fact, the people who have been recommended for these grants have already been told they've got the grants before it's come before Council?
I'll certainly ask Mr. Smee that question. Mr. Smee.
Through you, Mayor, no, not at all. They're not aware of the fact that this has been recommended unless they happen to read the agenda, and these are draft recommendations and they're not approved until such time as Council approves them.
Thank you, Mr. Smee. No further questions, Councillor Bastone? No? Councillor Fox?
Just looking down the list, I noticed quite a few of the groups that have not received funding are churches. The Snug Christian Church, the Margate Seventh-day Adventist Church, and also the Kingston Life Church. And the other two that have been refused, one is the Blackmans Bay District Cricket Club. I was wondering why they were refused, and also why the Bruny Island Bird Festival was refused. That one particularly interests me because I think that actually brings quite a lot of money into the Bruny Island area. It's very popular and very educational as well. But I'm just wondering whether there is a criteria that prohibits us from giving money to churches.
Thank you, Councillor Fox. I'll ask Mr. Smee if he's able to elaborate the answers for you.
Yeah, through you, Mr. Mayor. Firstly, refusals, probably not the correct term to use. Basically, we have $70,000 worth of applications and $30,000 available, so it's not that we refuse some, it's just that we're not able to recommend funding for all of them. there's no specific criteria that prohibits us from approving or recommending funding for a church group, and indeed we've previously funded church groups for community projects in the past. It's just that on this occasion the projects that are put forward either don't meet the criteria or don't meet the criteria as strongly as some of the other projects we have recommended. The Bruny Island Bird Festival, the reason for not recommending funding for that, it relates to the fact that our criteria excludes funding for operational purposes, and the application in this regard was deemed by the assessment panel to be purely one of operational expenditure. And we do look for, with events, they either need to be a new event or they need to bring something new of value to the community. Now, that's not to say that the particular event in question is not valuable to the community, but it's an event that has been going on for a number of years now, and the particular application is purely to fund its ongoing operational expenses.
Thank you, Mr. Smee.
My question was going to be, but I think Mr. Smee's answered that, because my question, Mayor, was going to be Taruna Neighbourhood Gardens. They've got another grant for $5,000 for garden infrastructure. We did finance them once before for that garden up there, and I guess what Mr. Smee has just said, it's an ongoing and a different.
Thank you, Councillor Grace. I'll put the recommendation, moved by Councillor Chadden, seconded by Councillor Grace, that Council endorse the allocations for funding for round one of the 2016 Community Grants Program as outlined in the attached table. Councillors in favour, please say aye. Those against? Motion is carried unanimously. We'll get Mr. Councillor Percy back in and we'll continue on, but we'll wait for Councillor Percy. The next item is page 88. On page 88 is a report, Code of Conduct, and there is a recommendation on page 90. Thank you, Councillor Fox. Thank you, Councillor Winter. Councillor Fox.
Oh, this is really an operational matter to comply with the other Code of Conduct which we've adopted, and then this one becomes obsolete. Thank you.
Correct. Thank you. Councillor Grace.
Mr. Mayor, I said it again. I've said it before and I'll say it again. This is going to ruin local government, believe me. These code of conduct is unnecessary, and all it is to stop a councillor from voicing his opinion or her opinion in the event that you might upset somebody. It's just ruining local government.
Thank you, Councillor Grace. I'll put the recommendation, Councillor Smith, by Councillor Fox, seconded by Councillor Winner, that Council adopt the Code of Conduct as included in the agenda with immediate effect. Councillors in favour, please say aye. Councillors against?
Yes.
I'll have a division or a show of hands, please. Councillors in favour? Councillors Winter, Bastone, Percy, Chatterton, Fox, Berry, Wass, and opposing the motion? Councillor Grace, motion is carried. And I think I might have missed you, Councillor Berry, I'm sorry. The next item is on page 100, Code of Conduct Panel. Thank you, Councillor Chatterton. Thank you, Councillor Fox. Councillor Chatterton.
The reason I've moved this because I have sat on a panel with the said Mr. Robert Winter, of course of no relation to my fellow councillor, of course,
lightly,
we're aware of. But now, look, Mr. Winter is a well versed in handling these affairs, and everything was done in a very, very professional manner by Mr. Winter for some many years, and I think not only a letter of thanks, I think it's really a letter to say that the manner in which he conducted the things was done exemplarily well, and I think unfortunately we're now going in a different direction, but I had no problem in dealing and working with Mr. Winter on that panel on probably at least three occasions. I found him an excellent man to to chair that panel.
Thank you, Councillor Chedden. Councillor Grace.
I'm delighted. I'm absolutely delighted. He was a good man. He was a fair man.
He still is.
Yes, he is. But I'm delighted that at least we haven't got that panel anymore.
Well, on that note, I'll put the recommendation, moved by Councillor Chedden, seconded by Councillor Fox, that Council's Code of Conduct panel comprising Mr Rob Winter, Councillor Dr Berry and Councillor Reet be terminated effective from this date, and a letter of appreciation be forwarded to Mr Winter for his role as chairperson of the panel. Councillors in favour, please say aye. Those against? The issue is carried unanimously. On page 102, nominations for the 1967 Bushfires Commemoration Working Group, and there is a recommendation on page 103-104. Moved by Councillor Grace and a seconder with Councillor Percy. Councillor Grace.
Mr Mayor, it shows that there are interesting people out in our community, and I think that we ought to be grateful, because these people that have nominated have got wide experience, I think, and will bring quite excitement to coming to conclusion on what their role is under their terms of reference. So it'll be exciting in the next I'm not sure when we'll meet, but I guess after the council meeting I would think as chair it would be appropriate that council would like to have a meeting, like me to hold a meeting with the group as soon as possible with Julie, and set out and see what interest or whatever, and maybe we'll have to come back to the council if we find necessary to bring others in that we find would be an advantage also, Mayor. But I think, and I know my colleagues will speak, and I think they'll find that we've got a fair selection of people.
Thank you, Councillor Grass. Councillor Chatterton.
Just a technical point. I know last, when we discussed this a couple of council meetings back, we changed the term of reference, and now we're recommending we change the terms of reference again to increase it. I have no problems with that, but I'm just wondering, procedural-wise, whether D should be actually the first item, because technically we've approved the term of reference within... Really, technically, we could rescind that motion and have another motion in, but D does that with its in a finite. So technically, we should be, in my opinion, altering the terms of reference first, and then accepting those people who we're recommending. I know it's a technical thing, but we have already changed the terms, and we discussed it at quite some length, and I suggested we probably would need to increase it, which we did at that council meeting, and I'm just wondering whether that's the correct procedure on this occasion.
I'll ask Councillor Grace as the mover and Councillor Percy as the seconder that they agree to the order being changed, and that is that previously D becomes A and then all the others move down, so the first one becomes B, the next one C, and the next one D.
I have no problem with that. None at all.
No, yep, that's resolved. Any further discussion, councillors? If not, I'll put the recommendation moved by Councillor Grace, seconded by Councillor Percy, that A, the terms of reference for the 1967 Bushfires Commemoration Working Group be amended to have 5 community members and 3 Kingborough School representatives. B, Mr Graham Ray, Mr Roger McNeice, Mr Russell Griffiths, Mr Colin Walton and Mr David Archer be appointed as community representatives on the 1967 Bushfire Commemoration Working Group. C, David Kilpatrick, Bonnie Jeffrey and Gay Lawless be appointed as the Kingborough Schools representatives on the 1967 Bushfires Commemoration Working Group. And D, Phil Norton be appointed as the representative of the Channel Heritage Centre on the 1967 Bushfires Commemoration Working Group. Councillors in favour to that, please say aye. Those against, motion is carried unanimously. We'll move on to page 122, Bruny Island SES Unit Complex, and a recommendation on page 124. Thank you, Councillor Grace. Do I have a seconder? I do. Councillor Bastone. Councillor Grace.
And look, this is something we need to address. They do such fantastic work, and the recommendation is for the 2017-18 financial budget. So I've no problem with it, Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Grace. Any further discussion? I will then put the recommendation moved by Councillor Grace, seconded by Councillor Bastone, that A, Council allocate up to $20,000 within the 2017-18 financial year towards the cost of extending the vehicle bay occupied by the Bruny Island SES unit at the South Bruny Fire Brigade building, subject to a co-contribution from the Tasmanian Fire Service, and B, negotiations commence with the Tasmanian Fire Service for a matching contribution for the vehicle bay extension. Councillors in favour, please say aye. Those against? That is carried unanimously. The next item is the Kingston Produce Market on page 125. And note that Councillor Grace has left the meeting at 6:45. Thank you, Councillor Fox, to the recommendation on page 127 and Councillor Winter. Councillor Fox.
Well, I think this is a really good outcome, having had the group, the Kingborough Local Produce Association, put in for an expression of interest, and also the recommendation that the fee of $50 per market be arrived at. I noticed when I read their application that was their major concern. I think looking at the people on that group, they have the calibre and the knowledge and the skills to run a market very successfully, as they have done up till now, and I think it will be something that will be housed here at the council chambers, but perhaps in the long term it will go to the old high school site. But I do think it is something that has run very successfully, and although not always during winter, and it's not easy to run a market during winter, but the concern that they have of bringing more people into the community who grow their produce, who make their produce, to be able to sell that and learn the skills of selling, and also that community is increasingly keen to buy locally produced items and foods. I think it's a really good opportunity to grow relationships among the growers and the producers as well, and a terrific economic driver for both the market itself, but also as a springboard to other ventures that they will be skilled up to take on. So I think this is something that we can be proud of. I think it's a very traditional role for councils to be involved in markets, as has been experienced in Hobart for many years, as well as internationally. So I think it's a good synergy and a diversification that council can be proud of. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Fox. And for the record, Councillor Grace returned to that meeting while Councillor Fox was speaking at 6:47. Councillor Percy.
Yeah, I agree with Councillor Fox. It is a good outcome. Just a couple of questions, if I could.
Yep.
Under 2.2, it says the delivery of the Kingston produce market by council did not manage to achieve the desired aim of being financially sustainable after set-up periods funded by the Hart Foundation. I'm just wondering if it didn't meet its other aims. Were there other aims that it was supposed to achieve? So maybe that one. And also, seeing we're having questions around at the moment around the community about costs of running markets and that, is the $50 per market similar to what we've been charging other markets, say the Sandfly market, and that? I just want some sort of comparisons, if I could. Thanks.
Thank you. Mr. Smee, are you able to answer Councillor Percy's questions?
Yeah, through you, Mr. Mayor. The market certainly did achieve the other aims of the project in terms of providing a locally available outlet for local producers to sell fresh produce. And we've had feedback from the Hart Foundation that they've been very happy with the outcomes that the market produced in that regard. In relation to the fees charged for other markets, bearing in mind that our fees for other markets relate to the use of a hall, the council recently set a fee of $120 per day for a rural hall, and with a 50% discount if it was a not-for-profit organisation. So $50 is less than the fee that we would charge in one of our halls, but bearing in mind it's a outdoor venue with very little other infrastructure available.
Thank you, Mr. Smith. I'll put that recommendation, councillors. Moved by Councillor Fox, seconded by Councillor Winter, that the General Manager be authorised to sign an agreement with the Kingston, with the Kingborough Local Produce Association, Inc., for the operation of the Kingston Produce Market, subject to the terms and conditions of Planning Permit DA2015-299 and the application of a fee of $50 per market. Councillors in favour, please say aye. Against? That is carried unanimously. The next item is on page 130, Policy 3.14, Rates and Charges Policy, and there is a recommendation on page 131. I have a mover in Councillor Chadden and a seconder in Councillor Percy. Councillor Chadden.
Look, this is really just a procedural matter and nothing else can be said, I don't think, Mayor.
Thank you. If everyone agrees, I'll put the recommendation moved by Councillor Chatterton, seconded by Councillor Percy, that the updated rates and charges policy be approved and implemented. Councillors in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Those against? That is carried unanimously. The next item is information reports, and the first one is Mayor's Communication. If I can have a mover and a seconder at that. Thank you, Councillor Winter, and thank you, Councillor Bastone. A couple of items I'd like to update you on in relation to the General Management Committee meeting. But there was an item on there. I did have it here before. In relation to the Tasmanian planning scheme, there was advice there that the hearing schedule was to start on the 30th of May, and that when Cradle Coast had their interim scheme adopted, there was over 2,000 changes to that scheme. Just to give you an idea of where they were at. In relation to some other items from the Premier's Local Government Council, local government reform, the Minister indicated that he was looking forward to data coming in from Kingborough, Clarence, Hobart and Glenorchy. He also stated that the North was starting to move and they have advertised for consultancy some weeks ago, and the Northwest were starting as well. In relation to waste tyres, an issue that has been on the SWASA agenda for some time, the tyre waste at Longford will close on December 16, and there are three options being assessed. Barwick in the south are looking at shredding tyres, and there's another company called Tyre Cycle in Launceston looking at shredding the steel from tyres. So if one or both those come around, the tyre issue that we have may be behind us. The statewide waste policy, the EPA are excited to some degree that the C-cell is going to become so that they will be able to direct waste to that C-cell. At the moment, if there's waste in storage, they're unable to direct that waste go anywhere. So with the C-cell being implemented, they will have an ability to redirect some of this waste, which is in some cases laying around in buildings. State roads ordered. There is an expectation that the Department of State Growth will be doing or have some trades in relation to roads. There are some roads within the state that have a number of ownerships, could be local government, could be parks, could be forestry, and DSG are looking to, if you like, work that down to one road manager, and from that there will be an opportunity from their perspective to trade roads, maybe with local government. In some cases, they believe that they will be limiting usage and or closing some roads, and that would be forestry roads or old forestry roads. With the sharing economy, they are looking at passing a legislation to allow Uber to commence in the state. That has been passed by the lower house and now waiting on the upper house. And they're also looking at Airbnb, which I did get the opportunity to speak with the minister on that one-on-one and indicated the number of issues that we had as a council raised, and that each road that we took, we found a number of roads coming off that road. In other words, Pandora's box was opening every line that you took. So he is taking a great interest in that as well. In relation to the code of conduct, one complaint has been received under the new code of conduct, and that was received on the 18th of May. And I think that really is... that really is the details from that meeting. Councillor Percy.
I'm not quite sure this is a proper place to ask this question. I saw in today's correspondence, or might have been the last couple of days, where the CCL is not going ahead with the investor, and...
I do have a response to you in closed session on one of the items in my report. Councillor Grace.
Just on the seashell. Have they awarded a contract, or are you going to talk to us about that later?
At this stage, just trying to think. Yes, tenders have been...
Yeah, our new tenders are closed.
And again, I'll update further.
It's just interest to who they selected.
Yeah, I'll and cover further in close.
Just one, Amber, if I may. Item 13, met with Rob Shearn, Ray Wells here at the venue at the Civic Centre.
Yep.
Was that in relating to what? Was it road safety or...?
Yes, it was in road safety, cycle safety. It was in relation to the shoulders that have been put in some sections of the Channel Highway, particularly on the northern side from the golf club, and seeking Department of State growth to be able to clean those lanes effectively so that the cyclists were not required or were not forced back out onto the road where some of the I won't call it leaf litter, but tree litter and rocks have come down. I'll put the recommendation moved by Councillor Winter, seconded by Councillor Bastone, that the Mayor's communications be noted. Councillors in favour, please say aye. Those against? That is carried unanimously. We'll move on to page 140, confirmation of items to be dealt with in closed session. Thank you, Councillor Grace. Thank you, Councillor Fox. That in accordance with Regulation 15, the Local Government Meeting Procedures Regulations 2015, the following items are to be dealt with in closed session. Applications for leave of absence, Kingston SES unit and relocation of emergency services, and a compensation claim. Councillors in favour, please say aye. Those against? That is carried unanimously. That in accordance with Regulation 15, the Local Government Meeting Procedure Regulation 2015, Council moving to closed session. Thank you, Councillor Grace, and thank you, Councillor Fox. I'll put that to the vote. Councillors in favour, please say aye. Those against? It's carried unanimously. The time being 6:59. The recording, that in accordance with Kingborough Council Meeting Audio Recording Guidelines, policy recording of the open session, the meeting will now cease. And the open session of council was adjourned at 6:50.